Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lada.
You are. And I'm Leo. And tonight we're going to, George unfortunately is not going to be with us tonight. He's
at a definite family.
He's at a funeral. And but we're going to take a different course tonight. And follow up on what we did last night. I don't know if anybody's listened to our last show. Thursday, I discussed, I brought up Emanuel Swedenborg's work. Emanuel Swedenborg is a mystic who lived in the 1700s. And he was an unusual fellow who could cross over dimensions. And he could speak with angels and demons, and you know, he was given tremendous amount of information regarding
by
angels and God, and you know, the different people that he spoke to, the different types of spirits that exist, and he brought them to us, back to us in the study, and actually discuss these things. It's not, in some ways, it's no different than it's not much different, really, than what Melchizedek, we've talked about him before. But the difference between Melchizedek and Emanuel Swedenborg is that, and Swedenborg was more of a Christian mystic, well, and of course lived in 300 years ago, but his if you look up his writings, you get so much. I mean, just tremendous amount of writing that he did. And
where did he live and write, Leo?
He lived in England, I believe. He wrote in Europe. It was in England that he lived in, and but he was. I could look up a bio on the guy, but, you know, do that on your own, please, because we're going to... I'm giving you a brief bio, but because of the time factor, and I don't want to spend an hour on... I mean, they had a fascinating life. And if you will go to last night's... to learn more about Swedenborg, last night I gave a pretty... a longer description of Swedenborg's work and Swedenborg's life. And... Swedenborg was not only a remarkable mystic, but he was also an engineer and a surveyor, and he was very an architect, if you will, as well. And he had a tremendous ability, very mathematical and logical and so on. But he had a tremendous left brain. Reality, but he was able to cross over. He had this gift from very young, where he was able to see and speak and cross over into the other dimensions, multiple dimensions actually, and converse with the spirit world. Now we know psychics, for instance. Maria Algieri, who we've had on our show a number of times, she communicates with, you know, those who have passed over.
Yeah.
And, well, he is different in the sense that she communicates through impression and voice. He actually walked into the dimension.
Mm-hmm.
He actually saw God and saw the angels and saw... the people right there, and not just passed over spirits, but you know, he conversed with these incredible spirits. And
with her, she doesn't converse with them; she sees them.
She sees them, yeah.
And they do things or make gestures that,
right.
And communicate to her that way, but they don't talk to her actually.
No,
she doesn't hear them auditorily; she sees them visually.
And this man, Mr. Swedenborg, was given these incredible revelations of how the world, how the universe operates, and how what we are, and how we are actually the essence of God. We are God. Man is God. All right? And the reason I got excited about Swedenborg, and I've been studying him not diligently for many years, but I did for a while back, about 20, 30, 25 years ago, when I first came across his work. And he, above all other people, was one of the most prolific writers, all right? Because what he was done is he gave, here, for instance, what we're going to talk about tonight, and I have it here, are some of the texts that we will discuss, is the specific one is Heaven and Its Wonders and Hell, From Things Heard and Seen. And these are the impressions and conversations that he received from angels from the other side, all right. And excuse me. And we're going to start. The first will be the preface concerning heaven and hell. Okay, what it is and where. And then God of heaven is Lord, is divine and the Lord who makes heaven. So now you got to remember there's a Christian overtone to this, and definitely a Christian overtone to this, but he expands this beyond that, all right?
Well, let's go right to it.
And we're going to go in there. But I believe let me see if I can, should start there. There are three heavens, okay? And remember, his information was given to him not only through as a visual witness, but also as a through the conversion, conversations and teachings from higher spirits, all right, which he describes.
So let's go right to it.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. Preface concerning heaven and hell. Let's go to that first. Let's see what we got. Okay. The Lord speaking in the presence of his disciples in the consummation of the age, which is the final period of the church, says, near the end of what he foretells about its successive states is respective to love and faith. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, now we're talking about the end times, okay? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because the end times is what we've been talking about for the last...
In the Mayan calendar. As defined by the Mayan calendar.
And you're going to see the similarities of our discussions with George on the Mayan calendar
with his
consciousness and unity consciousness with this, right? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven in power and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels with a trumpet and a great sound, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the end to end of the heavens.
That's from Matthew.
Right. Now,
the Bible.
Right.
Those who understood these words according to the sense of the letters of the letter have no other belief than that during the latest period, which is called the final judgment, all these things that come to pass just as they are described in the literal sense. That is, that the sun and the moon will be darkened and that the stars will fall from the sky and that the sign of the Lord will appear in the heaven. And he himself will be seen in the clouds, attended by angels with trumpets. And furthermore, as is foretold elsewhere, that the whole visible universe will be destroyed, and afterwards a new heaven with a new earth will come into a being. Such is the opinion of most men in the church at the present day. And he's speaking in the 1800s.
Right, but still, even to this day, all right, that's what the fundamentalists believe. That's what Catholics believe. That's what everybody believes, okay, because this is it. But what he's saying, it goes much further, and it goes into what we spoke about, what we've been talking about, where the Mayans say it's an end of space and time as we know it.
Well, let's hear what he said.
But those who so believe in ignorant, are ignorant of the arcana that lie hid in every particular of the word. For in every particular of the word there is an internal sense that treats of things spiritual and heavenly, not of things natural and worldly, and such as are treated of in the sense of the letter. And this is true not only of the meaning of groups of words, it is true of each particular word, for the word is written solely by correspondences, to the end that there may be an internal sense in every last particular of it. That what that sense is can be seen from all that has been said and shown about it in the Arcana Coelestia, and also from quotations gathered from that work in explanation of the white horse spoken of the apocalypse. Now, last night's show, I read the first chapter of the Arcana Coelestia, which is Heavenly Secrets, and we discussed, it discusses the Genesis was the first part, and how every single letter written by the Jews in the Jewish Old Testament of the Genesis, every letter was sacred.
Mm-hmm.
Every letter had extreme, infinite meaning, okay, in the sacred sense, okay, so that the way that they described Genesis was, the only way they could describe it was in a in a physical sense. So,
because they had no experience.
Because, no, they had no words
to express
that
what they understood.
Exactly.
What they saw and understood.
And what that means is, and I'm going to ask people to look up Arcana Coelestia, which is Coelestia. And after this, after tonight, you may want to go back to Thursday night show where I discussed this in length, all right? And you'll get a better understanding. But just before you go to the next thing, just understand that not only does this is not only in don't think of this in terms of the Christian concept of life, death, and afterlife. You know, or not life, death, afterlife, but I mean the final destruction where everybody burns in hell and stuff like that. It doesn't work that way. All right. How it works, according to Swedenborg, and he got his message directly from heaven. Directly from the highest angels, okay, that gave him these words, that these are merely, it's merely pictures of things, but the depth of its meaning is far, far greater than we can imagine. And not to put these horrific concepts in our mind as you know, as the end times are like everybody's going to be burned and destroyed and so on and so forth. That's not the way it works.
Okay. It is according to the sense that what the Lord says in the passage quoted above respecting his coming in the clouds of heaven is to be understood. The sun there that is to be darkened signifies the Lord in respect to love. The moon, the Lord in respect to faith. Stars, knowledge of good and truth, or of love and faith. The sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, the manifestation of divine truth, the tribes of the earth that shall mourn all things relating to truth and good or to faith and love. The coming of the Lord in the clouds of heaven with power and glory, his presence in the word and revelation. Clouds, signifying the sense of the letter of the word and glory, the internal sense of the word. The angels with trumpet and great voice signify heaven as a source of divine truth.
And they'll go on and mention, but he states that heaven is within us. Heaven, God is within us. We are God. All right?
So let's just go on.
So this is. All this makes clear that these words of the Lord mean that at the end of the church, when there is no longer any love and consequently no faith, the Lord will open the eternal meaning of the word and reveal arcana of heaven. The arcana revealed in the following pages relate to heaven and hell, and also to the life of man after death. man of the church at this date knows scarcely anything about heaven and hell or about his life after death, although all these matters are set forth and described in the Word, and yet many of those born within the church
refuse to believe in them, saying in their hearts, "Who has come from the world and told us?" Lest, therefore, such a spirit of denial, which essentially prevails with those who have much worldly wisdom, should also infect and corrupt the simple in heart and the simple in faith, it has been granted me to associate with angels and to talk with them as man with man, also to see what is in the heavens and what is in the hell, and this for 13 years. So now, from what I've seen and heard, it has been granted me to describe these in the hopes that ignorance may thus be enlightened and unbelief dissipated. Such immediate revelation is granted at this day because this is what is meant by the coming of the Lord. Chapter 1.
Okay.
The God of heaven is the Lord.
Right. First of all, it must be known unto the God of heaven. It must be known who the God of heaven is. And since upon that all the other things depend. Throughout all heaven, no other than the Lord alone is acknowledged as the God of heaven. There is,
there it is said,
as he himself taught, that he is one with the Father. The Father is in him, and he in the Father. That he who sees him sees the Father, and that everything that is holy goes forth from him. That was John 10:30.
I have often talked with angels on this subject, and they have invariably declared that in heaven they are unable to divide the divine into three, because they know and perceive the divine as one, and this one is the Lord. They also said that those of the church who come from this world having the idea of three divine beings cannot be admitted into heaven, since their thought wanders from one divine being to another, and it is not allowable there to link three and say one. Because in heaven, everyone speaks from his thought, since speech there is the immediate product of thought, or thought speaking. Consequently, those in this world who have divided the divine into three and have adopted a different idea of each and have not made the idea of one and centered it in the Lord cannot be received unto heaven, because heaven there is sharing of all thoughts. And therefore, if anyone came thinking three and saying one, he would be found out at once and rejected. But let it be known that all those who have not separated what is true from what is good, or faith from love, except in the other life, when they have been taught the heavenly idea of the Lord, that he is the God of the universe. It is otherwise with those who have separated faith from life, that is, have not lived according to the precepts of true faith.
And this, and again, let me reflect a second on this, because we bring this back to the idea of unity consciousness,
mm-hmm.
where God is one, and what we do as when we die, all right, or what we do as we come closer to the concept of ascension, all right, is we become one in thought, one in community, one in idea, you know, going back to God. God is one. We're going back to the one, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he's saying. And this is and he's saying that this was given him by the angels. And this the concept of the Trinity, and which is fascinating, the concept of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, is rejected by the Islamic faith, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they were told by Gabriel, by Muhammad, that there is only one God, and not
That's
three
right.
gods, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there can't be three, okay? And this is the precept or the pretext to the Islamic faith,
mm-hmm.
but the Islamic faith was 600 years
after
Christianity, okay, and the reason that Gabriel came to Muhammad was to, because that people were giving, were the Christian faith was wrong.
Losing the message.
It was losing the message. It was distorted by the Romans and distorted by the church and distorted by the Catholic concepts. And this, he brought him back here. But, again, he's mentioning nothing about Islam. He's only talking about what he got from the spirits and by his entering into
okay.
that realm.
Those within the church.
Those within the church who have denied the Lord and have acknowledged the Father only and have confirmed themselves in that belief are not in heaven. And as they are unable to receive any influx from heaven, where the Lord alone is worshipped, they gradually lose the ability to think what is true about any subject whatever. Now, this is fascinating. And, you know, this starts to lend to the problem with the fundamentalists, okay? And finally, they become as if dumb, or they talk stupidly and ramble about heaven. They are brought forward a little towards the right. And
ramble about with their arms dangling and swinging as if weak in the joints.
Oh,
and again, those who, like the Socians,
I skipped over a line.
Have denied the divinity of the Lord and have acknowledged his humanity only, are likewise outside of heaven, and they are brought forward a little toward the right and are let down into the deep, and thus wholly separated from the rest that come from the Christian world. Finally, those who profess to believe in an invisible divine, which they call the soul of the universe, from which all things originated, and who reject all belief in the Lord, find out that they believe in no God, since this invisible divine is to them a property of nature in her first principles, which cannot be an object of faith and love, because it is not an object of thought. Such have their lot among those called naturalists. It is otherwise with those born outside of the church, who are called heathen. These will be treated of hereafter.
Okay. Now, the what I wanted to mention here was that the universal one God,
mm-hmm.
okay, we're talking about this. I mean, he's a father. But you have to understand that as we develop, at the beginning, there was the void, and the void was us. The void is us still, okay? But it wasn't until God gave us the luminaries, which was faith and love, all right, and charity, all right, or the other, and they call them the celestial, you know, but gave us light, okay, and we took it upon ourselves, okay, we absorbed it, okay,
mm-hmm.
and others rejected it, and they saying that those that rejected the love or the charity, those two luminaries, which the metaphors for those were the sun and moon,
mm-hmm.
all right? Those things that gave you, that lighted up the day,
yeah,
and lighted up the night, all right, for you. And so anyway.
Lit up the day and lit up the
night. I'm not losing you, right? This is all you here.
Go right ahead, go ahead.
Because I know this is somewhat new to you, so it's not like,
mm-hmm.
you know, so your questions would be pretty much like.
Anyone else
yeah,
out
right.
there?
So infants from who form a third part of heaven are all initiated into the acknowledgement and belief that the Lord is their Father, and afterwards that he is the Lord of all, thus the God of heaven and earth. And the children grow up in heaven and are perfected by means of knowledges, even to angelic intelligence and wisdom, will be seen in the following pages. Those who are of the church cannot doubt that the Lord is the God of heaven, for he himself taught, right, that all things of the Father are his, and that's Matthew, of course, and that he hath all power in heaven and on earth. Okay.
Matthew
again. And he says in heaven and on earth, because he that rules heaven rules the earth also, for the one depends upon the other. And ruling heaven and earth means to receive from the Lord every good pertaining to love and every truth pertaining to faith, thus all intelligence and wisdom, and in consequence all happiness in word, eternal life. This also the Lord taught when he said, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Again, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live, and whoever liveth and believeth in me. And again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he said, again, he said, maybe he'll explain it better here, there were certain spirits who, while living in the world, had professed to believe in the Father, but of the Lord they had the same idea as of any other men, and therefore did not believe him to be God of heaven. For this reason they were permitted to wander about and inquire wherever they wished, whether there were any other heaven than
the heaven
of
the
Lord.
Lord.
They searched for several days, but nowhere found it any. And these were such a place, the happiness of heaven and glory and dominion. And as they were unable to get what they desired, and were told that heaven does not consist in such things, they became indignant, and wished for heaven, where they could lord it over others and be eminent in glory like that in the world. So that this we can understand this, but if we go back to understanding that what he says is that what Christ said, all right, is in Christ, we have to understand what Christ means. Christhood is the perfection of mankind. Okay, the perfect man is the Christ. It's the soul of man. It's the, you know, the body of Christ is the body, you know. But it's the perfect man, perfect woman, perfect man, perfect human. And so in the Christ, we are, in Christ, God is, the Father is him, the Son is him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all is one, okay? And like you said, there aren't three, there's only one, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe, my personal belief in this is that there probably really wasn't a Jesus Christ, okay, or whatnot. These things were all spiritual writings. These things were all written long after Christ's death, okay, regarding Christ, okay?
Well, long before.
Or Jesus, rather. Long after.
Well, actually.
And long before, yeah, but long after as well. Matthew was written nearly 100 years after
Jesus was supposed to have lived.
Yeah. So you can't really go by that. You have to understand that these are metaphors, okay,
mm-hmm.
to higher thought, okay, worked within the Christian concept.
Okay. Let's go
and,
to the
and,
next.
And so once you understand that, then all of this becomes more clear, right? Yeah. So, reference to the author is our Arcana Coelesta. And I have to say that we discussed this last night, and we'll be going through this every Wednesday, every Thursday night. We'll be going through chapter by chapter of the Arcana Coelesta. But tonight I wanted to further your knowledge on that and just go from that. So, and we're going to discuss more. So the next chapter in this series here is, it is the divine of the Lord that makes heaven. Okay? Now, the angels taken collectively are called heaven, for they constitute heaven. And yet that which makes heaven in general and in particular is the divine that goes forth from the Lord and flows into the angels, and is received by them. And as the divine that goes forth from the Lord is the good of love and the truth of faith, the angels are angels and are heaven in the measure in which they receive good and truth from the Lord.
Everyone in the heavens knows and believes and even perceives that he wills and does nothing of good from himself, and that he thinks and believes nothing of truth from himself, but only from the divine. Thus from the Lord, also that good from himself is not good, and that truth from himself is not truth, because these have in them no life from the divine. Moreover, the angels of the innermost heaven clearly perceive and feel the influx, and the more of it they receive, the more they seem to themselves to be in heaven, because the more Are they in love and faith and the light of intelligence and wisdom and in heavenly joy therefrom? And since all these things go forth from the divine of the Lord, and in these the angels have their heaven, it is clear that the divine of the Lord, and not the angels from anything properly their own, that makes heaven. That is why heaven is called in the word the dwelling place of the Lord and his throne, and those who are there are said to be in the Lord, but in the manner the divine goes forth from the Lord and fills heaven will be told in what follows.
And angels, from their wisdom, go still further. They say that not only everything good and true is from the Lord, but everything of life is as well. Now again, please understand, and I hope you understand, because this Lord that we're talking about, the divine of the Lord, God, okay, is the one. It's not like you said of the naturalist. He made the naturalist. He made nature. He made all of the stars and all the constellations. He created everything, right? So he's so far beyond that minute.
Universe. That's an object.
Yeah. The universal
The naturalist
God.
Thing is an object.
You're right. Whereas
the Lord is not.
He's not. He's a spirit. He's the entire. He's all of us.
That's part of what he is.
He is us. Yeah. And see, he is us. And what the whole concept behind us and the angels and all of the hierarchy and so on are all part of that, are all part of the one. And it's up to us now to hear the calling to go
to
back
to find our
the
way
one.
Back
that's
to the
right
one.
Back
to recognize it.
To recognize it, right. To recognize
it's there,
it.
We just haven't recognized it.
And if we don't recognize it,
how can we find our way back?
Said, exactly. And he says if you die, once you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell, depending upon your faith. All right? If you have no faith in God, then you're dead. You're gone. Okay? You go to the lower levels. Okay? And either you get reborn or you get rebirth or you get whatever, or born again, you know, or
I don't
whatever.
Know. Don't
and you
know
come back.
True.
Or you may come back.
Or you just stay there.
Or you just stay there. You know, and
you
stay there
know.
Because you never learned, you know. You never accepted God as one. And so, you know, when the time is up, the time's up. You know? The gig is up. So angels from their wisdom go still further, and they say that not only everything good and true is from God, but everything of life as well. And they confirm it by this, that nothing can spring from itself, but only from something prior to itself. Therefore, all things spring from a first, which they call the very being,
Essa
of the life of all things. And in like manner, all things continue to exist, for continuous existence is a ceaseless springing forth. And whatever is not continually held by means of intermediates in connection with the first instantly disperses and is wholly dissipated. They say also that there is but one fountain of life, and that man's life is a rivulet therefrom. And which, if it did not unceasingly continue from its fountain, would immediately flow away. And again, they say that from this one fountain of life, which is the Lord, nothing goes forth except divine good and divine truth, and that each one is affected by these in accordance with his reception of them. Those who receive them in faith and life find heaven in them, while those who reject them or stifle them change them into hell, for they change good into evil and truth into fallacy. And thus, life into death. And again, that everything of life is from the Lord, they confirm by this, that all things in the universe have relation to good and truth. The life of man will, which is
the life of man's will,
rather, which is the life of his love to good, and the life of his understanding, which is the life of his faith to truth. And since everything good and true comes from above, it follows that everything of life must come from above. And this being the belief of the angels, they refuse all thanks for the good they do, and are displeased and withdraw if anyone attributes good to them. And they wonder how anyone can believe that he is wise from himself, or does anything good from himself. And doing good for one's own sake, they do not call good, because it is done from self. But doing good for the sake of good, they call good from the divine. And this, they say, is the good that makes heaven, because this good is the Lord. Now, let me just state that it's pretty self-explanatory.
I believe that.
Do you think so?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's
I've always believed that when I get, I can only speak for myself, when I get an inspiration in work,
right,
or I do something to make it better from somebody else, I know it doesn't come from me. It has to come from God.
There's some divine inspiration.
Yeah.
It's like
I don't have that.
Yeah, it's like this whole week, for instance, I was wondering what to talk about on Thursday night, you know? And all of a sudden, and I hadn't read Swedenborg for quite some time, many years. And suddenly the name, the Swedenborg popped into my head. And I started to think about it, and I said, why? Why would Swedenborg be? It's great to talk about it on my Thursday night show, but how does it relate? And how did I get that? You know, why haven't I talked about it before? And I can say that the reason I probably hadn't talked about it before, I might have referenced it somewhere, but I had never drawn the link to this and to the Mayan calendar concept that we've been talking about before. And all of a sudden the linkage created this, and it wasn't me. I mean, it was inspiration. But you can see what he's saying here and relate it to all of the religions, okay, all of the concepts and all of the struggles that man has. Just in these few paragraphs that we've talked about, we already understand that there are not three. There's no a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Throw that out the window, all right? It never existed that way, all right? It only exists as there's one. One God.
This is the way Swedenborg sees it. Yeah.
But this is the way the angels see it.
This is the way he sees it from the angels.
And you know, there are more Muslims than there are Catholics. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, there are more Muslims that believe in the one God. And you know,
the faith is Islam.
Yeah, and the Buddhists believe that they can become
one with God.
That they are God.
Reunited with God.
Yeah. The oneness of the being, oneness of being, which is going back to the divine, which is what Buddha did, which Buddha was able to transcend and ascend his whole body and soul into God.
Join God.
Right, and this is what Christ did when he ascended. He joined his body and mind into God, mm-hmm. and he said, "I'm not the Son, I'm God, and you're God, and
he never said he was God.
No, he never did. He just said that God is in me as I am in God, and you are in God, and God, you know, this kind of thing.
He never claimed to be God the way he was written. No, it was never like that.
Yeah, just press that. All right, so essentially, this is where we're at. Okay, now, such spirits have confirmed themselves during their life.
No, you're in
the... Did we read this? Such spirits? No, we ended here.
Let's see.
Good from the divine, and they say that good makes heaven because the good is the Lord. Such spirits as have confirmed themselves...
During their life in the world, and the belief that the good they do and the truth they believe in is from themselves, or is appropriated to them as their own, which is the belief of all who place merit in good actions and claim righteousness to themselves, are not received into heaven. Angels avoid them. They look upon them as stupid and as thieves. and is stupid because they continually have themselves in a view and not the divine. And as thieves, because they steal from the Lord what is his, they are averse to the belief of heaven, that it is the divine of the Lord in the angels that makes heaven.
So you can't have your ego.
Yeah.
You cannot have any ego when you cross over, because when you cross, it's not you. You know, you're going. You have to have faith, and you have to have the desire for oneness, and you have to have that charity of soul, where what you give, you will. You have to. You know, is not yours, but it's God's, all right? Everything you do, everything you are, everything you have was given to you, all right?
By God.
By God, all right?
So it's his.
So it's his. And you have to say, at the end of your life, you say, hey, it's his. I don't want any, you know, I just believe in God because God gave me all this life. He'll give me life after death, all right? All is his. One. It's the one. We are just using it. We're renting it. You know what I mean? The Lord teaches that those that are in heaven and in the church are in the Lord, and the Lord is in him and in them. When he says,
abide in me and I am in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same breath, the
much
same fruit. Beareth much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing.
So, yeah. So
you don't,
without,
you don't
imagine,
have anything.
You're like a leaf on a branch, and the branch is part of the tree, and the tree is God, all right? So, you know, without the tree,
you're nothing.
You're nothing, you know? And, you know, so
that's, I guess,
basically it, yeah. And for all of this, it is now be seen, for all this, it can now be seen that the Lord dwells in the angels of heaven in what is his own. And thus, that the Lord is the all in all things of heaven. And this for the reason that good from the Lord is the Lord in angels. For what is from the Lord is the Lord. And consequently, heaven to the angels is good from the Lord and not anything of their own. So there's a perfect logic to this, if you follow it.
Well, everything belongs to him.
Everything belongs to him. All right?
We're just a little piece of him.
We're just, yeah, we belong to him. Because we are created by him, but we say, well, no, we belong to ourselves.
Well,
you know?
Sorry, that's
well,
not
we don't.
True.
We really don't belong to ourselves because we're just like at least being blown in the wind, basically, no? You know, trying to go back to find our root and trying to find the original tree or whatever. So, and he shows the way in that. Now, we can go on to the next chapter.
It's not right here. You have to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think... Yeah, these are just references to different sections of
just go to
of the Arcana,
yeah.
Which we're not into yet. Okay. In heaven, the divine of the Lord is love to him and charity towards the neighbor. Okay? So, this is chapter 3 of this segment.
The divine that goes forth from the Lord is called in heaven divine truth for a reason that will presently appear. This divine truth flows into heaven from the Lord, from his divine love.
Can we, I just want to interject something because I just want to mention, for those of you who might have just joined us or who have joined us and wondering what we're talking about, We're reading the works of Emanuel Swedenborg. We apologize, George wasn't able to be with us tonight. But we're talking about Emanuel Swedenborg, and who is a mystic who actually spoke to spirits, not channeled so much, but actually had conversations with them actually ascended into a heaven and hell, was able to see these things and come back and explain these things, explain the entire universe, the entire Godhead, and what it meant, what it means. He was one of the most remarkable mystics of all time, and he lived in the 1700s. And these are, we're reading his works, and this is chapter 3 of the heavenly of heaven and hell, right? And in divine and in heaven, the divine, and the title of this is In Heaven, the Divine of the Lord is Love to Him and Charity Towards the Neighbor. This is chapter 3 of Heaven and Hell.
The divine, I'll repeat, the divine that goes forth from the Lord is called in heaven divine truth for a reason that will presently appear. This divine truth flows into heaven from the Lord from his divine love. The divine love and the divine truth therefore are related to each other as the fire of the sun and the light therefrom in the world, love resembling the fire of the sun and truth from the light from the sun. Moreover, by correspondence, fire signifies love, and light truth going forth from love. From this it is clear what the divine truth that goes forth from the Lord's divine love is, that in its essence it is divine good joined to divine truth, and being so co-joined, it vivifies all things of heaven, just as in the world when the sun's heat is joined to light. It makes all things of the earth fruitful, which take place in spring and summer. It is otherwise when the heat is not joined with the light, that is, when the light is cold, then all things become torpid and lie dead. With the angels, this divine good, which is compared to heat, is the good of love, and divine truth, which it is compared to light, is that through which and out of which good of love comes.
Also, I wanted to mention I forget the actual location, but Swedenborg was actually tested by a number of people, scientists and so on of that period, and skeptics. And he was in he was sitting there with them in this building, and he was asked to describe. He was asked to describe something that he had never seen before. At that moment, at that same moment, which was in a different city, okay, and there were witnesses there who were doing something, and they asked him, okay, as a test of his powers of being able to astral project and astral travel.
Okay? Remote viewing is what he did.
Remote viewing, but further than that, it was also astral projection, right, and he was in both places at the same time, all right? And he described exactly what was happening over there without it. And so that convinced everybody that this guy had powers beyond what anybody had ever imagined, okay? And was part and parcel of what made him so believable, that he was able to, his soul was able to travel to all, you know, to through infinity, you know? And it went to heaven and spoke to the angels and spoke to and brought back this information. So, can we go? What was the next thing we were on here?
Right here.
4 and 7.
The divine in heaven.
The divine in heaven, which makes heaven, is love. Now, this is all given. All this we're reading was given to him, or spoken to, taught to him by heavenly spirits, and he says angels. The divine in heaven, which makes heaven, is love, because love is spiritual conjunction. It conjoins angels to the Lord and conjoins them to one another. So conjoining them that in the Lord's sight they are all as one. Moreover, love is the very being of every one's life. Consequently, from love both angels and men have life, and everyone who reflects can know that the inmost vitality of man is from love, since he grows warm from the presence of love and cold from its absence, and when deprived of it he dies. But it is to be remembered that the quality of his love is what determines the quality of each one's life. Amazing, huh?
Hmm.
And then, do you want to read that? Or do you want
to I was just thinking about that.
No, you're glad. What's your reflection on that?
I think that's probably true.
Yeah, yeah. Love is life, you know?
In either heaven, yeah.
God's love to us and our love to Him or to others.
And
you know?
To others.
It's just a... a natural flow, you know, of one to the next. And we can't hoard our love, okay, from God, even though He gives to all. If we hoard that, then we're wrong in doing so. It has to flow. It has to flow through us.
In heaven, there are two distinct loves, love to the Lord and love towards the neighbor. In the innermost or third heaven, love to the Lord. In the second and middle heaven, love towards the neighbor. They both go forth from the Lord, and they both make heaven. How these two loves are distinct and how they are co-joined is seen in heaven in clear light, but in the world only obscurely. In heaven, loving the Lord does not mean loving Him in respect to His person, but it means loving the good that is from Him, and to love good is to will and do good from love. And to love the neighbor does not mean loving a companion in respect to his person, but loving the truth that is from the Word, and to love the truth is to will and do it. This makes clear that these two loves are distinct as good and truth are distinct, and that they are conjoined as good is co-joined with truth. But this can scarcely be comprehended by man unless it is known what love is, what good is, and what the neighbor is.
And I have repeatedly talked with angels about this matter, and they were astonished, they said, that men of the church do not know that to love the Lord and to love the neighbor is to love what is good and true, and to do this from the will when they ought to know that one evinces love by willing and doing what another wishes. And it is this that brings reciprocal love and conjunction, and not loving another without doing what he wishes, which in itself is not loving. Also, that men should know that the good that goes forth from the Lord is a likeness of him, since he is in it, and that those who make good and truth to belong to their life by willing them and doing them become likenesses of the Lord and are conjoined to him. Willing is loving to do. Willing is loving to do. Okay. That this is so, the Lord teaches in the Word, saying, he that hath my commandments and doth them, or doeth them, he it is that loveth me, and I will love him and will make my abode with him. And again, if ye do my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. John 15. So this is what he's saying. And did you want to read that second part?
Yeah, this part right here. All experience in heaven attests that the divine that goes forth from the Lord and that affects angels and makes heaven is love. For all who are in heaven are forms of love and charity and appear in ineffable
beauty. With love shining forth from their faces.
And from their speech and from every particular of their life. Moreover, there are spiritual spheres of life emanating from and surrounding every angel and every spirit, by which their quality in respect to their affections of their love is known, sometimes at a great distance. For with every one of these spheres flow forth from the life of his affection and consequent thought, or from the life of his love and consequent faith. The spheres that go forth from angels are so full of love as to affect the innermost of life for those who are with them. They have repeatedly been perceived by me and have thus affected me, that it is love from which angels have their life is further evident from the fact that in the other life, everyone turns himself in accordance with his love. Those who are in love to the Lord and in love towards the neighbor are turning themselves always to the Lord, while those who are in love of self turn themselves away from the Lord. This is so, however their bodies may turn, since those in the other life space conform to the states of their interiors, likewise quarters, which are not constant as they are in this world, but determined in accordance with the direction of their faces. And yet it is not the angels that turn themselves to the Lord, but the Lord turns to himself those that love to do the things that are from him. But more on this subject hereafter, where the quarters in the other life are treated of. I don't really understand that completely.
Well, I think what he's stating there is that
heaven, he's talking about heaven.
Yeah, but in heaven is also, and I'm reluctant to say this, but there are so many different levels to this to his teachings, but he first prefaced the works hidden secrets, okay, or the Arcana Celestia, and those that talks a lot about it prefaces this, like it goes through the complete concepts of Genesis and Exodus and all of this, and brings the depth of this spiritual develops the lexicon, develops the definitions
mm-hmm.
of this later work, okay? But folks, if you go through the Arcana, you'll see, I mean, it's like 100 chapters of stuff in each of this, and it goes deeply into analyzing each sentence of Genesis, each sentence and so on. But and we could have started there, but I wanted to go into this because I felt that this grabbed this was very close to what we were everybody wants to know about heaven and hell. You know what I mean? And the concepts, especially by somebody who's been to both places. And what this particular thing that Lila just read, which says the Lord turns to himself those that love to do the things that are from him. But more on the subject thereafter, where the quarters in the other life are treated of. So, in other words, those who are working with the Lord, those who have God and love and charity and truth, working toward truth, are actually facing him.
Well, that's what they're saying. Yeah.
That's what he says. They're facing him. He's turning them to him because he is the truth and the light. So those who turn away from him are walking toward darkness and confusion and chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Those who turn toward him are the people that are walking toward truth and life and love. Right? And we got about 2 minutes left. Yeah.
And
maybe I can end it with this last statement and we can dwell on it later, but next week. But the divine of the Lord in heaven is love. For the reason that love is receptive of all things of heaven, such as peace, intelligence, wisdom, and happiness. For love is receptive of each and all things that are in harmony with it. It longs for them, seeks them, and drinks them in as it were spontaneously, for its desires unceasingly to be enriched and perfected by them. This too man well knows, for with him love searches as it were the stores of his memories, and draws forth all things that are in accord with itself, collecting and arranging them in and under itself. It in itself that they may be its own, and under itself that they may be its servants, but other things not in accord with its discards and expels, that there is present in love every capacity of receiving truths in harmony with itself, and a longing to conjoin them in itself, and has been made clear also by the fact that some who were made simple-minded in the world were taken up into heaven, and yet they were with the angels. They came into angelic wisdom and heavenly blessedness, and for that reason they had loved, and for they had loved what is good and true for their own sake, and had implanted it in their life, and had thereby become capacities for receiving heaven with all the ineffable ways. And it goes on. We're out of time, unfortunately, but I wanted to just say that you might. We've got a few more minutes. If you want to call in, we'll take your calls. And if you want to discuss this, and if not, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us tonight. And please join us again next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And thank you for joining us.
Yes,
and,
thank you very much.
Yeah, and I'm going to leave this right now and go to my switchboard if I can find it. Let's see, boom. Okay. We've been on this website here for quite some time. We have no callers at this point. So, okay, we want to thank you again and have a pleasant evening.
Good night, folks. Thanks for listening.
Good night.